Hello and welcome to a special episode of the EPCR European Rugby Show with reaction from Lausanne to the pool draws for a new season in the Heineken Champions Cup and European Rugby Challenge Cup. In a moment, we'll tell you who plays who, including the first three teams to face Leinster as the holders attempt to claim a record fifth title in the continent's premier club competition. We're joined by Austin Healy, Rafa Ibanez and Dimitri Yashvili to analyse the draws and look ahead to another huge season of European rugby. Hello and welcome to a new European rugby season. I'm James Burridge at the Olympic Museum, just down the road from the EPCR's new headquarters here in Lausanne in Switzerland, right beside the stunning Lake Geneva. It is a roasting day here today. What a setting for the start of the new season. And of course, I'm reunited with ChampionsCupRugby.com's Emma Thurston. Emma, you've spoiled us with this setting.
Well, it's just beautiful. I don't think I've been at a pool draw quite like it. The sun's gone from one side to the other and still burning. There's boats on Lake Geneva and it's just fantastic. And we've had a brilliant pool draw and the pools are certainly set up for what should be another cracking Heineken Champions Cup and European Rugby Challenge Cup season. So it all starts today, really.
Doesn't it just? And with the Champions Cup, we've got 20 teams in five pools, seven from England, two from Scotland, two from Wales, three from Ireland and six from France. Emma, who's going to be happy and who's not?
Who's not? Well, I'll start there first because that's always where our eyes are caught. I think defending champions Leinster Rugby, well, they're in with Wasps, Toulouse and Bath. That's certainly a tricky pool and I've seen people across social media label that one the infamous pool of death. There always seems to be one. And then you look across some of the others, you've got some returnees into the competition after a few years out, the likes of Newcastle Falcons and Edinburgh Rugby. They're in the same pool, but they've got experience with them. Montpellier and RC Toulon. So pool five will be quite interesting. And I think then looking towards some of the other clubs, Saracens, Glasgow, Lyon and Cardiff Blues in pool three, that's, as you said to me a little earlier, James, a bit more of an unknown quantity. So there's some evenly balanced pools, some tough pools, and I think there'll be some that will throw up some results which we're not expecting, which is what you always want. And everyone's been talking about it all day across social media. We had the hashtag Champions Cup draw and a few responses which I'll just pick out. You know, Perry says he's already got his tickets booked for the final and he can't wait. And then Andy has looked at some great names in there for Newcastle Falcons, back in with the big boys, and hopefully we'll see them in the final. And Eric Thomas, he says, tough draw for Bath Rugby. Pool four looks brutal though. And in pool four, that's the Scarlets, Racing 92, Leicester Tigers, and Ulster Rugby. Keep your reaction coming in across Facebook and Twitter. As always, we are at Champions Cup on Twitter and at ER Challenge Cup for the reaction to the Challenge Cup draw. And search for us European Rugby Champions Cup and European Rugby Challenge Cup on Facebook.
Emma, thank you. Next, we'll confirm the full pool draw for the Heineken Champions Cup.
I'm Eason Asiwa and you're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
So let's go through the Heineken Champions Cup pools. Details of the seedings and the draw procedure can be found on championscuprugby.com. We'll start with pool one. Defending champions, Leinster. Wasps, Toulouse, Bath Rugby. What a pool on its own. 11 titles between those four. Pool two, Castres Olympique, Exeter, Munster and Gloucester. Gloucester still smarting from that last minute defeat against Cardiff in the Challenge Cup final, you remember. Pool three, the English champions, Saracens, Glasgow, Lyon and Cardiff. Pool four, Scarlets, Racing 92, Leicester and Ulster. Look, Leicester playing Racing again. Matt O'Connor, no doubt, and Laurent Travers will be going back to last year's notes to drum up and rehearse their lines for that one. And pool five, Montpellier, Newcastle. Great to have them back in the Champions Cup. Edinburgh and Toulon. And of course, Tom May, my old sparring partner, will be able to keep us up to date. He knows both Toulon and Newcastle extremely well. For Newcastle, this is massive, isn't it? Because the finals are there in their hometown. Do they have the pedigree, though, to make the knockout stages?
Well, we're only going to find out through the course of the pool stages. It's a tough ask for a side to come in and really develop and move into the knockout stages at the first time of asking, be that their first Champions Cup competition or their first for a number of years. So it will take a lot of doing, but who says they're not to do it? They've got Dean Richards has got a huge amount of experience that he can impart on his players, and the players themselves have built season on season, and we certainly saw what they did in the Premiership last season. So it will be a challenge, but it'll be one that they'll be up for.
And Leinster, they're going for their fifth title. I suppose Toulouse are too, actually, in Pool 1. Wasps and Bath alongside them. You look at Leinster right now, though, certainly the way they finished in Bilbao. I know it wasn't the final we all predicted, but they surely are the team to beat.
It was the ultimate test match, I thought, in Bilbao, in club colours. And yes, that pool, I would say, is the trickiest of the lot with the pedigree that's in there. However, the way in which Leinster developed over the course of the season and the age profile of their players and the experience that their players also had on an international level just makes me think that they are going to hit the ground running again next season against whichever side they have in round one and start as they mean to go on and have their eyes firmly on that fifth title. It's going to be fascinating to see how Leo Cullen and his coaching team develop them to try and make that record.
Emma, thank you. We're going to speak to the cheeky chappy of rugby now, Austin Healy of BT Sport. He's been with his colleague Sarah Elgin conducting the draw. Austin, nerve-wracking for you? I mean, there's always the fear that it could go wrong, but I think you handled the occasion superbly.
Yeah, it's quite difficult when you're waiting for Rafa to read out something in French and you haven't got a clue what he's saying. So, no, we did lots of rehearsals, mainly for Dimitri, not for me, obviously. But I thought it's a really balanced draw, probably the most balanced we've ever seen. Obviously, Pool 1, 11 titles between them, Leinster, Wasps, Toulouse and Bath. But you'd still expect Leinster to come out of that group. I think the easiest group is probably for Saracens. And no disrespect to Cardiff, Glasgow and Lyon, but Lyon are a bit of an unknown quantity in the tournament and Glasgow and Cardiff haven't progressed, although Cardiff were brilliant in the Challenge Cup final in the second half. So I fancy Saracens finishing as top seed, and then it's all to play for in the other pools.
Let's talk about your old team, Leicester, in Pool 4 with Scarlets, Racing 92 again, and Ulster. And the Racing element, because for Matt O'Connor, he must have looked at that and thought, why us?
Well, I think Leicester have been with Racing pretty much every year for about the last 5 years. So they've got their own training ground now in Paris. They know exactly what to expect. And to be fair, they played pretty well last year over there. So that group four is a tough group to call who's going to come out. And for me, it normally starts with the first two games. Although having said that, Scarlets lost their first two games this season and went on to get to the semi-final. So Leicester have to be thinking about progressing into the knockout stages when they see that draw. And Ulster, we all know what it's like at Ravenhill on a Friday night. It's not called Ravenhill anymore, is it? But I can't.
The Kingspan.
Yeah, the Kingspan. I know the boss of Kingspan, so he'll hate me for not calling it.
No Christmas card for you.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get some insulation for my walls. But it's a good group and a tough one to call. So I think the makeup of the games will really dictate who comes out.
So why have Leicester not progressed to the knockout stages and kicked on? Semi-final 2016 was the last time they got there. They got very close. But why hasn't it clicked for Leicester in Europe of late?
They're not a good enough side to progress into the knockout stages of Europe. I mean, it's as simple as that. They play periodically in good patches. But to go into the knockout stages, you've got to perform, 10 times with high quality. Leicester haven't done that, haven't got the players to do that. And they've got some good players coming in. But it needs to be a bit, I still think it's a transitional season for them. And
even this season?
I think even this season, some of the players that have come in, when you lose your 9 and 10 for long periods of the season, it's impossible to compete, especially if the 9 and 10 are the central point of your team where you're spending most of your money. Leicester have spent most of their money at 9, 10, 12 and 13. You can't do that. You need to spend most of your money in the back row. And if you're going to do that, you've got a chance.
And so inevitably, for Matt O'Connor, the pressure's still there. It's relentless. Richard Cockerell, we'll talk about him in a moment, but he's found out to his cost. But Leicester like to think they belong on the European stage, don't they? They've won it countless of times. You've been there, you've done it, but they're nowhere near the glory days of those early 2000s.
No, like you said, in 16, they had a real chance against Racing at Nottingham and performed terribly in the game. They should have won that game. The opportunities that they had to take themselves to the final were there. But I think you hit the nail on the head. You can't really rest on your laurels or on your history. And the old Leicester Tiger ethos of being uncompromising and having a will to win at all cost. Everyone's got that now. Everyone has that same will to win. So you have to differentiate yourself, and I still think they're searching for who they really are.
Let's talk about Mr. Cockerill then, up at Edinburgh now. I think he's really relished that opening season. He's got them into the Champions Cup. I hear he's going to meet up with Neil Lennon up at Hibs and kind of tap into what he's tried to do north of the border. What should we expect from Richard Cockerill's second season with Edinburgh?
Well, if he meets up with Neil Lennon, I should imagine quite a few drinks, because we used to go out with Lenny when he was playing for Leicester City and we were playing for Tigers. I had a few good nights out with Lenny, actually. But no, it's been an incredible move for Cockers. And I think there was a bit of a rocky period early on where people had to readjust to his methods. But he's certainly got them playing good rugby, and an interesting pool for them. Montpellier is obviously a tough trip, as is Toulon. But they'd fancy them at home. The French sides hate going to play in Scotland, particularly in the cold months. And then Newcastle against his old mate Dean Richards. That's going to be a feisty thing. Actually, the match on the side of the field in both those games is going to be far more entertaining than what's on the pitch.
Is he coaching Edinburgh in a similar way to the way he coached Leicester?
I don't honestly know, because he never coached me at Leicester. And had he have been the coach, I'd have signed for someone else. So I've got no idea. I think that his methods are obviously working. I think he had a bit of a rum deal at the Tigers, because he managed to achieve something with not a particularly great squad. And now we're seeing Matt O'Connor having to pick up the pieces. So going up there with Edinburgh, he's doing the same. He's getting the best out of a side that's not spending the sort of money that Toulon or Montpellier are spending, or the likes of Lyon or Saracens or, you know, Leicester for that matter. So he's getting the best out of a squad that is hampered somewhat by its budget.
And a word on Leinster, because they were outstanding last season, even if that final was nail-biting against Racing. I imagine looking at this draw, they are still many people's tip for the title.
Yeah, I think so. Toulouse are a bit of a dark horse. I think that they could come back. The other sides to look for, Exeter, I think, are probably a side that are thinking, do you know what? We've let ourselves down in Europe over the past few seasons. You know, we've made the knockout stage, but we haven't really performed. We've got the squad, we've got the mentality, we've certainly got the forward pack. Interesting to see if they change their style after what happened to them in the final against Sarries. But I think Exeter, if you wanted a little bit of an outside bet, I would put some money on Exeter. And I'd also put a tiny little bit of money on Montpellier.
And just a final one, what about Scarlets and Wayne Pivac? Because while they entertained us, but they didn't quite go that next step. What do they have to do to crack the elite, do you think, and get all the way to a final?
It's a tough question, that, because the way that they played after round two was very, very impressive. It was very open. The game at Bath, I just thought they were brilliant in not great conditions. They've lost key players. Tad Burns gone, hasn't he? And he was immense for them this year. So I think Scarlets, can they do the same as they did last year? Well, they got off to a bit of a flying start, but I'm not so sure.
That's your private plane just landing at the nearby airport, so you better go and catch it.
Wait, you obviously don't fly private, because that's a helicopter.
I thought I'd try and catch you somehow. It never works. Austin, lovely to see you. We'll see you on the touchline.
Yeah, cheers. See you next year.
Well, let's get a French perspective now with one of the most recognisable figures in French rugby. Won over 90 caps for Les Bleus, Rafa Ibanez, such a well-known figure. Well-loved too at Wasps, actually, where he won his European crown. Rafa, you were helping to conduct the draw today, and what a place to do it here in Lausanne.
Yes, we're very lucky today, you know, in Lausanne. It's a beautiful scenery, and it's a perfect place to talk about rugby and what's coming next year.
So much is going on in French rugby, certainly towards the back end of last season. Cast, first of all, coming from nowhere, they finished sixth in the regular season in the top 14. Were you surprised by the way they took the title and have now become this real force to be reckoned with?
Well, I think everyone in France was really surprised by their performance, especially when you know they've ended up in the sixth position in the top 14, and then they managed to win the championship, and which is great for them, because I think it's really down to the team spirit, the mental strength. So now they've won the French top 14. I guess, and I would suspect them to be really focused on the Champions Cup now.
But it's very difficult to compete on two fronts. La Rochelle found out to their cost. So the pressure on that coaching team led by Christophe Urios to do that is pretty stark, isn't it? Can you really, really do both?
No, you're right. The thing is, Castres in the past were not really successful in the Heineken tournament, especially because they were really focused on the top 14. But I assume now they've won the top 14, they may focus and target the Champions Cup. That's probably what the head coach Christophe Furios would explain to the players before the competition starts, because it's a fantastic challenge for them. They show so much strength, you know, mentally, collectively as a team, and now they may want to do that, you know, at the upper stage.
Because so many French teams, they buy big, don't they? They have these massive budgets. They have these wonderful Galacticos from around the world coming to play in France, but they have one of the smallest budgets in the top 14. I mean, what does it say about that great debate about should you bring in the stars to attract the crowds and play this wonderful fanfare rugby, or actually do you stick to who you know, what you know, and you make it a real team thing?
Yeah, well, Castres, they don't come from nowhere. I mean, the structure, the club is pretty pretty healthy. But to be honest, you know, the main reason with the about their success is the team spirit and the strength, you know, they had together to defy the odds, and that's the identity. It's so important in a rugby team, which is probably the most important thing. You know, as long as you have created your own identity, then you can beat any team in the world.
And what about talking at Big Beast, let's talk about Toulouse, because they appear to be on the way back now. Is that how you see it in France?
Yeah, Toulouse struggled for the last few years. They used to be the number ones, you know, in France, in the French Championship especially, and at the European stage as well. Now I would consider them more as outsiders than favourites, especially when you find out in which pool they'll be competing this year. It's a very tough pool with Leinster, Wasps, Bath. Wow, what a challenge for them.
11 titles between the lot.
Yeah, you said it all. You know, it's a fantastic challenge, but Toulouse, you know, now they try to rebuild on their reputation, on their skills, because, you know, obviously it's a big rugby place in France.
It's been a busy couple of weeks at Toulon as well, for everybody, whether you're a player or a coach. They've always been a side, though, which has had to adapt and cope with player departures, coach arrivals and departures. What should we expect from Toulon next season?
Well, under Bernard Laporte, my former France coach, who took over Toulon, they've achieved something unique. You know, three titles in a row in the former Heineken Cup. Then after that, they seemed to struggle really. Then there were so many changes, so there are more questions than answers at the moment. You know, in the Toulon side, but they still have depth. You know, in the squad with the new coaching staff, it could be interesting to see them, and they have a good chance because that pool, I guess, Montpellier or Toulon will come out as favourites in that pool.
And a final one on Racing, because they were the finalists, weren't they? And wow, they came close. And there's bound to be a lingering disappointment because, let's face it, everything was thrown against them. They lost players minutes before. Somehow they came within a whisker of taking it. And that will be surely in the back of their minds as they start this campaign.
Yeah, it became really frustrating for Racing in the last month of competition because they were great for the whole year. And in the space of 1 month, they just blew everything. Is that the way you say it?
Yeah, it's effectively the same thing. So yes,
I mean they've lost everything in the top 14 and also the final in Bilbao, and which must be really disappointing and really frustrating for the players and the coaching staff because they have a lot of ambition. So I can see the coming competition as probably a revenge for them. It's time for revenge for Racing.
And if you're someone like Teddy Ribaron, who really had that opportunity to show what he could do on the ultimate stage, and let's be honest, he's been number two or number three for most of the season, how do you tell your coach, actually, it should be me instead of Maxime Machinot?
Well, he proved everyone he could make it. He's been immense for Racing, especially when you know experienced players at 10 were missing. Pat Lambie, Dan Carter were not playing, were not available. So Teddy Riebein replaced Max Machenaud at the last minute, and he did really well. So, you know, that shows as well the depth of the squad and the quality of the player.
And what a battle at 10 next season with Finn Russell and Vulla Vulla competing for that 10 jersey. Lambie will obviously be injured for the start of the season, but there you are, three outstanding 10s. It's going to be a difficult one for Labia and Travers to try and choose the right man for the right occasion.
Yeah, but you have to trust the coaches, and they are very experienced, Laurent Travers and Laurent Labia, to make the right decisions. But, you know, these such an amount of quality players shows the real strength, you know, of the team of racing, yeah.
And you obviously had a wonderful time at Wasps, Raphael, not so long ago, of course. They are in a really tough pool, though, aren't they? Leinster, Wasps, Toulouse and Bath. I mean, we've talked about it already. Do you give them much chance of making it out into the quarterfinals?
Everything is possible, especially with Wasps. I like the way they play. I think they try to create opportunities with the ball in hand. They're a very offensive team. They still have the mental strength to play at their best, you know, especially against the best. Of course, you know, it's a special place, you know, in my heart, because I still have some good memories, you know, with Wasps in that competition. I love, and the only thing I can say, and I wish them well, you know, for this year coming.
Give me your pick then. Give me two finalists in Newcastle in the Champions Cup.
That's a tricky question. I would say one of the Irish teams. They're always there when it matters. So Leinster were really impressive last year. And why not versus maybe Exeter? Because I like the way they play too. You know, it's very open. It's a very offensive game plan. And I think this is the future of rugby. You want some spectacular games. And we're very lucky in the Champions Cup to have that almost every weekend.
Raphael, it's lovely to see you. We'll see you on the touchline. Great to catch up again.
Great. Thank you.
Now, he was commentating for BN Sports in Bilbao for Champions Cup weekend back in May. Dimitri Yashvili, formerly of France and Biarritz. Dimitri, it's wonderful to see you again here in Lausanne. And back in Bilbao in the Challenge Cup final, we saw two sides in Cardiff and Gloucester play one of the most memorable finals, I think, in that competition for a long time. How do you make that transition then to the Champions Cup?
First of all, I was very sad for Gloucester. They had lost this final because I used to wear the cherry and white jersey a few years ago. It's not very hard, you know, to play the Challenge Cup and the year after to play the Champions Cup, because you know the level of the competition, you know who you will play against, and you know that this is another level. What is the hardest thing is to be efficient in the Premiership or in Pro 14, and to be efficient also for the Champions Cup. But when you play rugby, when you play professional rugby, you are training to play this competition and to be competitive with this competition.
And if you look at Cardiff in Pool 3, they've got Lyon, Glasgow and Saracens. And from a Saracens perspective, you know, they peaked at the wrong time in a sense, because they won the English Premiership, but actually that quarter-final against Leinster, they were still making that transition, weren't they, from the difficult time over Christmas and that New Year period. I suppose as a player, you've really got to make sure in Europe you're on the money, because if you're not, then you're going to be on a hiding to nothing, aren't you?
Yeah, that's why it's very, very hard. And you know, the level of the Saracens this year is quite the same that the English team this year. They didn't play very well during the Six Nations on the tour in South Africa also. So this year, physically, it's hard for them. But I am sure next year they will be fit. This is a special year because there is a World Cup at the end of the next season. So,
and does that play on a player's mind that you know the World Cup's around the corner and you're being looked perhaps a little bit stronger?
Yeah, maybe, but it's good for the players, because they want to play for their national team. They want to play the World Cup, so they have to be good with their club, and they have to be good during the best competition, and Champions Cup is the best best club competition. So I am quite sure Saracens won't do the same season than this year.
And what of Gloucester, your old club? I know you had a very happy time there. They are, I suppose, the dark horses for getting to those knockout stages. Do they have the players? Do they have the game plan to do well in Europe?
You know, the game plan, it's quite easy. If you are fit and if you want to go forward, the team wants to go forward, the game plan will come easily. But after, for sure, when you play the Champions Cup and you want to play the semi-finals, you have to have big squad, very big squad, because you have to play the Premiership, you have to play the Champions Cup. But if you start to win the first two games, maybe the third games, you can imagine a quarterfinal, and after you never know what could happen.
And from a Gloucester perspective, after the heartbreak of that final, does that still linger with you, even by October?
Next year is a new year, so for sure they are still sad and very disappointed, because they are professional, and when you wear the jersey, it's to win. They lost. They lost at the last second, so it's very hard for a player. But they already lost final, so they know that each year is different, and I am sure they will find the motivation to play the Champions Cup.
Great to see you, Dimitri. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Good to see you too. Thank you very much.
Well, after today's pool draw, the first fixtures for the pool stage will be released later this summer, around 2 weeks after the last fixture announcement of Europe's three professional domestic leagues, the Top 14, the Guinness Pro 14 and the Gallagher Premiership in England. But the first weekend of European rugby will be on October the 12th, 13th and 14th. Emma Thurston, give me a snap prediction then for some of these pools.
In terms of the pool winners? Ooh, well, in pool one, despite it being so challenging, I think you cannot look past Leinster for me. Pool two, so Castres, Exeter, Munster and Gloucester. Ooh, it's a tough one between the Chiefs, who I know have this competition firmly in their minds and really want to progress forward, and Munster. I'm not going to call between the two at the minute. I'm going to sit on the fence for that one. Pool three, personally, I can't see past Saracens taking that pool. I think their pedigree in the competition speaks for themselves. Pool four, Scarlets, Racing, Leicester and Ulster. Something gives me an inkling that there's going to be a resurgence from a Leicester perspective in the European competition next season. I think it's so important to them, so I'm going to have a look at Leicester. But then you think, oh, hang on a minute, Scarlets are there from their semi-final last season. Scarlets are going to pip that one, I think. And pool five, Montpellier to really surge forwards, I reckon, in pool five. What about you, James?
Yeah, I think you're right, Emma. I don't think you can look past Leinster. I think Castres have got a real head of steam, having won the top 14. I think Saracens surely are the team which are going to come away with that one in pool three. It'll be interesting to see how Cardiff respond, having won the Challenge Cup, whether they got that sense of momentum. I think Scarlets are just going to pick up. I can't see Leicester at the moment progressing to the knockout stages. And as for pool five, I think the romantic would love Newcastle, but I think the realist will say it'll be one of Toulon or Montpellier.
Of course, we know from previous seasons, it's never as easy as we think it's going to be when it comes to predicting. And the all-important back-to-back fixtures will go a long way to determining the pools. So there's plenty of rugby on the way. And who knows, we might be totally wrong, James.
I think we probably will be. Next, we will take you through the draw for the 2018-19 Challenge Cup.
I'm Ken Owens and you're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
It's James Burridge with Emma Thurston from the European Rugby Pool Draws here in Lausanne. So we've given you the Heineken Champions Cup draw. Let's now take you through the five European Rugby Challenge Cup pools. Starting in pool one, Northampton, Clermont Auvergne, Dragons, Timișoara Saracens. Pool two, Pau, Ospreys, Worcester and Stade Francais. Pool 3, Sale, Connacht, Bordeaux and Perpignan. Pool 4, La Rochelle, Zebre, Bristol and Yenisei STM. And Pool 5, Benetton, Harlequins, Agen and Grenoble. And if I was to pick out two teams there, Emma. Firstly, La Rochelle, who started like a steam train in the Champions Cup, completely then fell off the pace. Calazzo's left, he's gone to Toulon. And now they've missed out actually on Champions Cup qualification by one place. It's remarkable because everyone was saying, look at this great new team in Europe, and now look where they are.
A lot of us didn't expect it. I know, remember Tom May flagging them very, very early on. And as soon as we saw them play a couple of matches, even that first game, our heads were turned, that bonus point winner, Harlequins. So if La Rochelle really find their feet early, this is a competition which they will want and could win easily. But if they lose their steam or if they lose their footing, it's much more open. So it will be very interesting to see how they start and how they continue through the competition. But they've got the goods, that's for sure.
And of course, in Jono Gibbs, they've got a proven head coach, was of course at Ulster, now coaching at La Rochelle. And from an English perspective, Northampton Saints, under new management with Chris Boyd taking charge there. He's got Sam Vesti, Phil Dowson helping him out with Alan Dickens. And they had a dreadful season last season. But he's beginning to start things afresh. It'll be fascinating to see how they go.
Yeah, it was a tough season for them last season. But in terms of some of the individuals that they've got coming in and the drive that they'll have to put things right domestically and in Europe, they'll want to use the Challenge Cup competition to do that.
It is slightly funny, though, because they're playing Clermont Auvergne. Any Saints fans bound to have air miles going there. They know where they go. They can book the same hotel. They're playing a Welsh side. Last season, they had the Ospreys. This time, they've got the Dragons. And they're playing another Saracens team. This time, it's the Timisoara Saracens and not Saracens, who were their real bogey side, have been their bogey side for so long. And, of course, should say, likes of Bristol, back up. They've been promoted, haven't they, the Bristol Bears. What do you think we should expect from Pat Lamb's side?
I think with the Pat Lamb coach side, they're going to know their structures, they're going to know their stuff. And we look what he did with the Barbarians in terms of free flowing. So Bristol Bears will want to come up and they'll want to make a statement and show that they're up for good and that they're going to turn some heads in the competition.
So both the Heineken Champions Cup and the European Rugby Challenge Cup will conclude at finals weekend 2019 in Newcastle at St James's Park. The Heineken Champions Cup final is on Saturday, the 11th of May. The Challenge Cup final on Friday, the 10th of May. Seems a long way away, Emma, but it looks as if the tickets are selling fast already.
Well, they are. And I've never been to Newcastle, actually.
You haven't been to Newcastle? Shock horror.
So I'm very much looking forward to finals weekend. And as you say, tickets are selling extremely quickly. So over 25,000 tickets have already been sold for the Heineken Champions Cup final, which is a phenomenal number. There are about 16,000 currently available on public sale, but I expect that a few more will have been snapped up over the course of the pool draws. And if you want to do it in style, then hospitality sales start on the 29th of June. So keep an eye out for them. And then when it comes to the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, over 14,000 tickets have already been sold. So I think we're in for a pretty good weekend in Newcastle, James.
I think we are. Pick me some finalists then for both finals.
Oh, you put me on the spot. Leinster and Montpellier. And from a Challenge Cup perspective, I'm going to look forward to ASM Clermont-Auvergne and La Rochelle.
Let's see if you're right in less than 12 months' time, but it's going to come along mighty quickly. Emma, thanks very much indeed. That's all we've got time for on this special episode of the EPCR European Rugby Show from the Heineken Champions Cup and European Rugby Challenge Cup draws here in Lausanne. Thanks to Raphael, Dimitri and Austin. The podcast will return in October with a season preview ahead of the opening round of fixtures in both European rugby competitions. Check out the new look website, championscuprugby.com, for all the latest news and features throughout the summer as we build up to the start of 2018-19 season. Get involved on social media via the official tournament Facebook pages or search for @championscup and @ERChallengeCup on Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe to the European Rugby Show on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, or at your usual podcast provider. But for now, from Emma Thurston and myself, James Burridge, here in Lausanne, it's goodbye.
Au revoir.